Savitri, Book 3, Canto 3, The House of the Spirit and the New Creation. A mightier task remained than all he had done. To that he turned from which all being comes, a sign attending from the secrecy which knows the truth ungrasped behind our thoughts and guards the world with its all-seeing gaze. In the unapproachable stillness of his soul, intense, one-pointed, monumental, lone, patient he sat like an incarnate hope, motionless on a pedestal of prayer. A strength he sought that was not yet on earth, help from a power too great for mortal will, the light of a truth now only seen afar, a sanction from his high omnipotent source. But from the appalling heights there stooped no voice. The timeless lids were closed, no opening came. A neutral, helpless void oppressed the ears. In the texture of our bound humanity, he felt the stark resistance, huge and dumb, of our inconscient and unseeing base, the stubborn, mute rejection in life's depths, the ignorant no in the origin of things. A veiled collaboration with the night, even in himself, survived and hid from his view. Still something in his earthly being kept, its kinship with the inconscient whence it came. A shadowy unity with a vanished past, treasured in an old world frame, was lurking there, secret, unnoted by the illumined mind, and in subconscious whispers and in dream, still murmured at the mind's and spirit's choice. Its treacherous elements spread like slippery grains, hoping the incoming truth might stumble and fall, and old ideal voices wandering moaned and pleaded for a heavenly leniency to the gracious imperfections of our earth and the sweet weaknesses of our mortal state. This now he willed to discover and exile, the element in him betraying God. All nature's recondite spaces were stripped bare, all her dim crypts and corners searched with fire, where refugee instincts and unshaped revolts could shelter find in darkness's sanctuary against the white purity of heaven's cleansing flame. All seemed to have perished that was undivine. Yet some minutest dissident might escape and still a center lurk of the blind force. For the inconscient too is infinite. The more its abysses we insist to sound, the more it stretches endlessly. Then, lest a human cry should spoil the truth, he tore desire up from its bleeding roots and offered to the gods the vacant place. Thus could he bear the touch immaculate, a last and mightiest transformation came. His soul was all in front like a great sea, flooding the mind and body with its waves. His being, spread to embrace the universe, united the within and the without to make of life a cosmic harmony, an empire of the immanent divine. In this tremendous universality, not only his soul nature and mind sense included every soul and mind in his, but even the life of flesh and nerve was changed and grew one flesh and nerve with all that lives. He felt the joy of others as his joy. He bore the grief of others as his grief. His universal sympathy upbore, immense like ocean, the creation's load, as earth upbears all beings' sacrifice, thrilled with the hidden transcendence, joy, and peace.